So if you've got your Bibles, just turn with me to 1 John, please. And we'll just go to 1 John 4. You get yourself ready. Helps if I get there as well. We're going to be looking in a few minutes at 1 John 4, 7 to 21. But before we do, I'm just going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will help me through the power of the Holy Spirit to speak your words clearly, articulately, that they touch our hearts, they change us, and we leave this place more like Jesus. Lord, we give this time to you. Thank you. Amen. If I were to ask you, if I were to take a survey, that dreadful word, of where you think you are in life with being loving, being kind, being compassionate to people, I wonder what you'd say. You'd probably say to me, well, we're not too bad, actually. Could do a bit better. Sounds a bit like a school report, doesn't it? Does all right, but could do better. But then if I asked you in the survey a similar question, slightly phrased differently, if I said to you, do you love people like God does? I wonder what you'd say. I don't think you'd say, yeah, not too bad, could do better. You'd probably say, well, I'm not God, am I? How many of you would say that? Yeah, nobody did. Well, there's one or two hands gone up. Well, I just wonder if sometimes we might have got a little misunderstanding. And I believe that the Lord wants us to really understand today how to break out in love. Now, we've got the new community cafe, which has opened up. And if you've been there, you know we have these wonderful cakes, don't we? Sponges that big, or are they that big? They're big, aren't they? They're big. Scones, quite big. Yeah, wonderful. Now, if the people who are baking them don't follow the recipe, even if they know it off by heart, they're not going to have sponges that big and scones that big. How do I know? Because I've done it. I've done it at home. And Terry will tell you, you can have a couple of sponges look like that, and sandwiched together, they still don't look much bigger than that. So I don't bother. We'll come down here and have them instead. And then I can also tell you, that's using the correct ingredients. I'm not getting the correct result because I'm not following the instructions in the recipe. When I was first married, and now come on, don't all laugh at this too much, I had never made Yorkshire pudding. And so there I was, young, 18, thinking I'll make Yorkshire pudding on a roast dinner. And guess what? I got the ingredients, but I'd got the wrong flour. Yes, I'd got self-raising flour instead of plain flour. So when we opened the oven door expecting these beautiful Yorkshire puddings like Mum made, we had little flat flounders. And Terry laughed his head off, which made me quite angry. And he opened the kitchen window. I was only 18. Come on, bear with me. I wasn't a Spirit-filled Christian then. And he opened the window and he threw them out on the lawn, which was covered with snow. The seagulls came down. He said, like a frisbee, seagulls came down and they refused them as well. See, I knew that would make you laugh. So why am I saying this? Because I thought I was using the correct ingredients and I was using the wrong ingredient. And I think the Lord is trying to say to us this morning, come on, Christians, let's wake up today. So let's get down to this. 1 John 4, 7 to 21. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. You got it? God is love. This is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Lovely words, aren't they? Come on, let's pay real attention. Verse 13, this is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit And we have seen and testify the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. Yes, we all get that. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and we rely on the love God has for us. I'm going to ask each one of us, I'll pause there for a second. Do we really know and rely on the love God has for us? Here it is again. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. And this is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. This is underlined in my Bible. In this world, we are like Jesus. I'll say it again. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. And this is powerful. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or a sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Ooh, powerful words. I read them slowly, so they really impact our hearts. The word tells us that our faith expresses itself through love, and that's Galatians 5:6. So if you and I want our faith to work, but how is your faith walk? How is mine? We realize if we want it to work, we've got to love like Jesus. We have got to walk in love. And it's easy to see when that's not working in other people's lives. Is it easy to see when it's not working in my life? Can you see it when it's not working in your life? Difficult. But we don't act like Christ. We don't speak like Christ. We have mood swings. Have you noticed that? Some of you are saying yes. We give in to fears. Remember, fear is false evidence appearing real. We do not forgive. Something else. We become critical. We become negative. People start to get on our nerves. Anybody relate to that? Yeah. Yes, lots of us. Well, why are we like this? I believe it's because we do not truly understand who we are in Christ, and if we did, we'd act differently. We don't fully understand what Christ paid for on the cross, what he bought and paid for you and me. The money's in the till, but we don't get it. Some days we get it more than others because we slip back into our carnal ways. So therefore, we've got to get on with understanding a little bit more of what God says. Because in 1 John 3, verse 1, if you flip back, it says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. And I've preached on this scripture before, and I've said then, I love honey, jam and marmalade on toast and bread, crunchy bread. And I ladle it on so thick, Terry said, if we got kids, we'd go through a jar in a meal. The way you use it. Yes, because I lavish it on. That's the sort of love God's got for you. God's got for you, for you, for you, for you, for you, for you. And if you don't know him, he's got it for you. And he wants to know you because he loves you. He loves you. Jesus came to set the captives free. Are we free this morning? Do we fully understand? Last week, Terry emphasized about the disciples following Jesus. And he said, if you love me, obey me. You will follow me. Have we been doing it this week? Ooh, challenging, isn't it? Have I? Have you? So let's just flip over the page to 1 John 2, please. 1 John 2, 3 to 6. We know that we have come... I'm sorry, I'll start again. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. This is the Lord. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live as in him must live as Jesus did. Every day, Lord. Yes, every day. Guess what? You and I are the Bible people read. They'll never pick up one of these. They'll look at us and say, well, they're a Christian. And if that's what their God is like, get lost. We've got to radiate the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 to 23. The love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the gentleness, the self-control. Do you know, if I'd got an orange, I'd have bought it today and peeled it down to show you. One orange, one fruit. People will say fruits of the Spirit. It is fruit. One fruit. One whole fruit. It's not pick and mix. We have the segments in the orange, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness. Love is the first. Self-control the last. Don't have self-control, the wheel drops off us, doesn't it? And we then shout and rant and rave. Fruit of the Spirit, very important. God wants us to grow in that. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not die but have everlasting life. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Three of you believe it. Do you believe it? Yes. Come on, wake up, everyone. I need some help. Without love, the giving won't work. God gave in that scripture, John 3:16. You all know it off by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. He gave. He gave. What are we giving? What are we giving? What are we giving? Without love, our giving will not work. Our tithing will not work. Our prayers won't be as fruitful. Our walk with the Lord won't be as fruitful. It's a spiritual law, you know, that operates when we give, when we tithe, when we give of ourselves, when we give love to people. God instigated it when he gave Jesus. He gave Jesus and he received him back. And then he received all the sons and daughters who will believe in Jesus and receive him into their hearts. God gave. Will I give? Will I give? Will I love? Will I honor? Will I obey? Will I follow? The devil works very, very hard, you know, trying to get us to focus on the negative. He doesn't have to work very hard, does he, really, in our lives to do that? Anybody else notice that? You've only got to have one or two things go wrong in the day, haven't you? And you can start to get a little bit, oh, why is this happening to me, sort of thing. We go negative. The devil doesn't have to work hard at all to do that. He likes to get us to focus on our problems. He likes us to focus on other people's problems so that we say to ourselves, if only they did this, they'd be out of that problem in no time. He tries to turn our attention away from the Word. Have you noticed? Yeah? Well, you're all keeping very quiet now in case I ask who reads the Bible. He tries to turn us away from praying and talking to God. He tries to turn us away from the Spirit. He wants you and I to behave and believe below our true identity in Christ. He doesn't want you and I to know our true identity in Christ. Do you realize that? He wants you to walk in failure. He wants you to walk in negativity. Guess what? We need to know who we truly are in Christ. The sheets at the back of the auditorium, if you've never heard any of us preach on that before, they put all the scriptures there of who you really are in Christ. Take one. Pin it on your fridge. Pin it on your mirror. Put it in the car. Talk to yourself. Tell yourself who you truly are in Christ when you've asked Jesus into your heart. Ooh, we need to realize we are loved by God. We need to realize we have the life of God inside us. We need to realize we can walk in the love life that God wants us to walk in. We can walk like Jesus on earth. We can love like Jesus on earth. We can be Jesus' feet and hands on earth. We can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. We can preach the word. We can live the word daily. We can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We can walk by faith and not by sight. We can have the resurrected life of Christ inside us. Don't tell me we can't. We can. Who can? Come on, every hand should be up. You should be encouraged. God wants to encourage you this morning. God wants to encourage me this morning. He wants us to realize we can. Can't shouldn't be in our vocabulary. We must walk in love. 1 Corinthians 13:5 tells us, love does not dishonor others. Love is not self-seeking. Love is not easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Whoops! Forgiveness. What about forgiveness? Can I forgive? Can you forgive? Do we say we forgive and then hang on to it? Holy Spirit wants to teach you and me to truly love as he loves, to truly forgive as he forgives. Think of the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We've got to do it. It's an act of the will, an act of faith to do it. The feeling follows afterwards. Believe me, I've had to do it in our lives. The feeling follows afterwards. Remember what I said just now, we're the Bible, people read. If we're going around grumpy because we've been hurt by somebody and we can't forgive, we don't radiate that love, that joy, that peace, that patience, that kindness, that goodness, that faithfulness, and that self-control. God created life. God created mankind, men and women. Life, life, life. Man creates dead things. And guess what? We all like to worship them, be it the new car, the new this, the new that. God wants you to be interested in people. He wants you to love people. He wants you and I to be moved with compassion as Jesus was. We can so easily get weighed down by our own lives. Don't do it. Let's be more disciplined than that. I don't know why we do it, but we do. We've got to say to ourselves, from today, I'm going to start not to do this. I'm going to take a step over a line of faith and not get bogged down and weighed down by life's problems. Because we're passing through. We're not here forever. We're passing through. We're on our way to heaven, to a better place, to our eternal home. Amen? Amen. Do you know an undisciplined mind? I don't know if I'm talking to people here, but an undisciplined mind is a lazy mind. A lazy mind. And that is very dangerous. Because we can so easily succumb to influences around us and the culture around us. How many Christians have said to me over the years, oh, I only go clubbing because I can witness there. And then within a few months, they don't come to church. If you go to the clubs, make sure you take two or three Christians with you to speak to people. But don't just get sucked into the culture and then not bother to come to church because you're up so late Saturday night. Ooh. But it's so easy, isn't it, to get sucked in. And I have to say this, Christian, it's no good going to yet another Bible school, however good they may be, another conference, going for prayer with this one, that one, Tom, Dick and Harry, and just getting more and more head knowledge, unless we start to do what the Word says. It's Acts. It's like the book of Acts. It's action. You and I need to feed on the Word. We need to believe in the Word. We need to live in the Word. We need to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit through love, by love, renew our minds, renew our thinking. Come on, Christian, rise up. Let your faith rise up this morning. Psalm 121 says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. And so the psalm goes on. And John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will obey me. I mean, it's simple, isn't it? If we love him, we'll obey him. Why do we want to do it our own way? Bit of the old Frank Sinatra's, I'll do it my way. We're spirit-filled believers. We should be doing it the Lord's way. The way of the Word. The way of the Spirit. James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the Word. And I'm going to add this morning, so deceive yourself. Do what it says. So don't leave this place and think, oh, gone over my head, I'm off now. Do what it says. Let's activate some of this. Now, if I asked you what's the mission statement of this church, you'd say, some of you may know it, but I won't put anybody on the spot, but you all need to know it by heart. Anybody like to tell me what it is? Luke 10:27. Come on, some of you know it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. It's the DNA of Christianity. God gave River of Life that scripture to live by. It was God. It was not a person. It was God. And I can tell you, a few years later, when J. John was abroad in South America, there was a revival there, and he said the DNA of Christianity was Luke 10:27. And it just confirms it. It ought to be in our hearts. We ought to be thinking, yes, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it. I'm going to show this love. Anyway, I advise you all to know that in case somebody picks on you and asks you what the statement is for the church. You know, we know a lovely Christian friend who went for an interview for a job, used to be in this church, moved away. Lovely, lovely girl. And it was a Christian job she was going for. And they said to her, what's your favourite scripture? And she thought, oh, what do I say? And she just said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. Lovely, he said. What's the text? And she said, ah, don't know. So I just encourage us that when we sometimes quote things, we just need to know exactly what they are. Needless to say, she didn't get the job. So anyway, I just want a quick recap on the points we've made today. God loves you. God loves me. God created you and me for a purpose, to fellowship with us, to worship, to be with us, to communicate with us. Do you believe it? And God is so gracious. He has a good and a perfect plan. Every single person in this auditorium, I think you all know him, but if you don't, you need to today. I'd love to pray with you afterwards. God wants you and I to walk in the power and authority of his word and his Holy Spirit. Will we do it? He wants you and I to be fully aware of who we are in Christ. He doesn't want it like my Yorkshire pudding that we put an ingredient in and it's not exactly the correct one. He wants us to understand what we're doing better. So I'm going to just challenge us all, really. I ask each one of the following. And I'm going to use a verb in each one of these little phrases. And a verb is a doing word. A verb is an action verb. So, will we live the new life in Christ that Jesus paid for? Will we live to live? Will we live it? It's a doing word. Will we live that exchanged life that Jesus bought and paid for? Will we live the life he wants us to live? In other words, will we do it? An action word. Will we live that life of love, compassion, and kindness? You'll get this by the end of it. Will we live like Jesus? Will we love like Jesus? Will we forgive like Jesus? Will we allow him to renew our minds by his word and his spirit? Will we allow him to guide us by his word and his spirit? Allow, you know, we have to allow is a doing word. Will we eliminate apathy, complacency, laziness from our lives? Eliminate. We have to do it. It's a doing word. Will we be obedient to his word and his ways? Will we encourage people, one another, love people? It's a doing word. We've got to do it. And will we live by faith and not by sight? It's very, very hard to do that when we're going through a difficult time. It's been very hard the last 6 months with Terry with these knees to say you're healed by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony when he hasn't been able to walk properly. Nothing wrong with the kneecaps. It's been cysts behind the knees. But you have to see the finished article, not the limping through to the finished article. That's living by faith and not by sight. Would you agree we need revival? Yeah. Do you think you and I need to be revived? Yeah. Well, that's a few of you. The others, you're all right then, are you? You're all revived. You're passionate for Jesus. You're on fire. I don't believe it. Anyway, it starts with you and I radiating this love. This love to this hurting, needy world, to the people out there, to those who live there, to those who live there, to your neighbours, to your friends, to your work colleagues, to the people at the garage, to the people at the supermarket, to the people at the school, everywhere, radiating fruit of the Spirit. Last week, when Terry spoke about the disciples changing the world, he said, Jesus said, obey me and follow me. The week before, Andrew spoke about walking with God, and he gave us the analogy of walking arm in arm with God. Do you remember? This week, God wants you and I to break out in love. He wants you to physically do an action, a doing word of breaking out in love, making a change in my life and your lives. He wants you and I to show people his love by our actions, by our words, our deeds. Will we be passionate for Christ? Will we radiate that love that God wants us to radiate? He loves people. He created people, not things. Man creates things. God loves people. And they're going to hell if we don't love them into the kingdom. And time is short, folks. Shall we stand? If the band would like to come up, that'd be fine. If they want to respond to this word, just respond. I've deliberately asked Julie and the band to play a song that I think will touch all of us. All of us who think we've got it together, those of us who think we haven't got it together, and all those in between, gracefully broken. I believe God's touching hearts even through this word this morning. And I believe that he wants you and I to do something. This is an action word, a doing word, to do something today, to show we mean business with him. If you want to stay in your seats, that's fine. But if you want to come to the front, just as if it was an altar, and just surrender your heart afresh to him and say, I am going to do this action word, I am going to do this doing word, that I am going to radiate this love. I'm going to have the correct ingredient of love to minister to people, to love people, to be kind to people, to be compassionate to people, to love them into the kingdom. Love breaks down barriers. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, these words I have spoken have been the words you wanted me to say. And Lord, that you not only touch my heart, you touch every heart in here to respond as you would have us respond. Lord, may we open our hearts without fear of being hurt and rejected, and just encompass everything that you have for us, that we can radiate your love, not only to one another, but to this hurting, needy world who's chasing things and dreams when they should be chasing you, Lord. So just guide us now, Jesus, I pray, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.